It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Oxnard, California. Training camp 2024 rolls on, and we have a fresh batch of takeaways reports from early in the afternoon. New news coming in hot. Okay, our coverage is brought to you by the fine folks at Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. Deron Bland's going to be in that on-time expert hot seat coming up now in just over an hour. General at your service, salute to you. Here's Broadus, Wolchuk and Schiafalo. Of course, Lucius Alexander back in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. You have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Tim Collins and DJ Pridemore on the scene here, making sure we're staying right and staying on air. But welcome in, gentlemen. How the heck are you? You have a good Thursday night?
Been good. Yeah, everything's been good. We got practice rolling right now. The nighttime, yeah, I was doing some podcasting work last night, working with some various folks. It's good to kind of recap day one. And now as we get into day two, here we go. And so camp in full swing and excited about it.
Yes, sir. I got a little excited earlier. About 5 minutes ago, my computer started smoking.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, it is legal out here.
Yeah, that's not good.
You had that electrical smell of smoke. Luckily, I yanked it. I think we might be in the process of a full-blown inferno right now if I hadn't been sitting right here.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah. What?
Well, I don't think your mic is on.
It's not on.
Chuck.
Am
there
I good
you go.
Now?
There you go. Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, your computer went full Bobby Belt mode. You should have seen him last night, man. He was fuming.
I think this might be the last show that I have this computer. I think that it might be about to get retired. Sounds like it's become a fire hazard. Mike McCarthy, presser last hour, said, please try to represent what's really going on here, because obviously it's not as juicy as some of the stuff that goes out. I think working for the Dallas Cowboys, we're the content capital of the universe. What's being misrepresented, you think? I mean, quarterback and coach are on lame duck contracts.
The fans
have shifted
so.
Their mindset.
Yeah, I think
these guys are defensive,
and
they don't know that, you know, they're, you know, really deservingly getting much more doubt than in recent years. There's not an excitement here because you guys screwed up. It's not just the Green Bay game, Jerry. Okay? You guys have been a fraud pretender for the last 3 years as you've been making the playoffs and winning 12 games and hanging 30 burgers on bad teams in the regular season. And now, finally, enough football has transpired on the field that people aren't buying it anymore.
Yeah, I think that it's – everything you said, I believe, is right. I do feel like, though, that when you're talking about what Mike was trying to address was, like you said earlier, all the contracts – that, like, you know, hey, we're not bitter. We're not being, you know, we're going to work through and we're going to see what happens. So whatever happens, I think he's taking the same approach as Dak Prescott has. Yeah. Whether I'm here or not, I'm going to be working in the National Football League. There's things that he can control and there's things that Dak can control.
Yeah.
But right now, he's telling us, nah, it's not as bad as what we're talking about.
I could see that. I mean,
but you're right about the fans.
Right
about the fans, because clearly, I know in my Twitter mentions this morning and dealing with fans and asking or answering questions, fans are like, I used to scour the internet for information. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So that's where I think that...
Now I just look at Twitter.
Yeah, the fans are just... They're not too happy about the situation. They know that things aren't going to change with the general manager or the owners.
Yeah.
They've bought in for so many times of, you told us this, you told us this. That's not the case anymore. But I think what Mike's trying to address is his own situation.
It looks like we have another quarterback... shoe dropping from a contract standpoint.
Oh, boys. Here we go. Breaking news.
Let me guess. Is it Tua?
This is Tua.
Ooh.
Of the Miami Dolphins of Miami, Ian Rappaport. 4 years, $212.5 million. And that is the... That's
What'd
just the
say?
Total numbers there.
4 years, $12.5 million?
212.
Okay.
I might have misspoke there. 4 years, $212.5 million. So okay. I'll have to wait and see what the guarantees and everything looks like there. But
average is 53?
Yeah, there's another quarterback that's in that in that
He's
mix
not getting
there.
The 60.
Okay. Not getting Ooh. The 60.
Well, and they said they
What's
didn't
the
want
difference?
To reset the market with two. I mean, I don't know. I guess you're right, but maybe the $5 to $7 million does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think Dak's going to come in right around 60. And I don't know if that's going to get done. Stephen Jones just said
yeah.
that there have been conversations going on, though, in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and that's good. I think they're talking a lot more. And I was here earlier in the morning, and there was people telling me that they've had a lot more conversations with CD as well. So... You know, trying to get things done that way. But, yeah, it's going to be, like I said, I think that Dak is, yesterday him on the podium felt very comfortable, like whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm going to play this year and we'll see what happens. So, whether his contract gets done here soon or not at all, I think these guys feel like they're in a good spot. I mean, not the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's in a good spot.
Absolutely. If super injured guys getting $53 million a year, I mean, you're worth significantly more than that.
Who doesn't think Dak's in a good spot, right? Obviously he is. The dude got paid after he broke his ankle. He just was a runner-up for MVP. Like, I understand Cowboy fans, like, we're sick of it because there hasn't been postseason success. But if you look around the rest of the NFL, give me a quarterback that can win 12 games a year. The majority of teams, you're telling me the Raiders wouldn't be like, hell yes, please, sign me up. We'd love to have Dak Prescott. Yeah. Another team's giving him his money.
Yeah.
He knows that. He is secured.
It's a great place to be if you're Dak Prescott. And by the way, I think you undersold that. That was a compound fracture of the lower leg.
Hey.
You know, that was one of the most devastating injuries, along with Theismann and Alex Smith, that this league has ever seen, other than, a few more tragic ones. But, I think what we're looking at here with Mike McCarthy saying that is a lot of guys are watching the talking heads on national TV, and then they just say the media. That's not the media. That is, like, horrible, pathetic, opinion-based, facts be damned, Shady McCoy-style TV. You know, that's not the media. So don't sit up there, Mike, and say, hey, can you guys get this right when you're talking about waking up and watching garbage television about the Cowboys saying, oh, my goodness, CD might be gone. Mike McCarthy hates Jerry Jones. That's not real media. You know, that has become some, like, cable news version of media that's just trying to appeal to the emotion in you more than, actual journalism.
They're like television tabloids.
Exactly. Yes, tabloid TV. That's what I should have said a long time ago. Could have got that point done about a minute ago. Okay, who wants to be bullish on DeMarvian Overshown, though? McCarthy saying he had a great first day. He was all over the place. GPS numbers were through the roof, so the Cowboys decided to hold him out of special teams work today, but he has had no setbacks in coming off the ACL, Brian. What do you think?
Yeah, I was just watching him just a minute ago, and some of my early notes, I was out there because of the linebackers. They were right there by where we're broadcasting from. And I'll tell you what, his ability to show and play with range is impressive. When you start to talk about, and we think about him as a forward player, but when he has to turn and adjust, and what they were doing where they were running a drill, where they're running a crosser, and he has to identify the crosser and then get with the crosser. And so it's at a sharper angle, and he was able to carry that angle. As soon as he saw what was happening, the ability to turn and to take off and run, you could see the athletic ability with this guy. And so, yeah, he looks like he's put on more weight. They just had a drill, too, where they were extending on the sleds, getting rid of that. Quick hands, pop, and then off, and then in position to make the play. This kid has taken advantage of his rehab, getting his knee right, but but also getting his body to where he can play play some meaningful games for you this
year.
So many
guys come back stronger if they do it right, because it's just plenty of time to work on your body and rest and recover and build muscle, and it's great to see Overshown has done that, because, I mean, he lit up camp last year and was the talk, but you could tell he was like still had his teenager body. He was a little bit lean. Leofau do anything to impress
you? Yeah, the thing with Leofau is, though, he's another one of those guys that has pop, and when you watch him, they're going to have to work on him with little being a little bit quicker. The hands extend, the pop's there to stop the blocker, but get off just a little bit quicker. They were correcting him in that drill. It's got to be a little bit quicker, but he did a nice job with the upper body power, the extension, and then getting to where he needed to be.
Okay, speaking of...
He was playing base defense yesterday, by the way. When they went base... With that, and base is just your normal.
When you
have your situation, you just play base defense. We talk about nickel taking guys on and off. When they play with their normal starters, he was involved with the base defense. Damone Clark was involved with some of the nickel stuff, along with Overshown, and then also with Kendricks as well.
So the base was Kendricks, Leofau, and Parsons?
Yeah,
as
yes.
Your three linebackers?
Well, they had Parsons as the edge.
Okay.
They took one of the defensive ends off and then put another linebacker in there is what they did. And so that way Parsons was just with the defensive line, and the Leofau and those others were with the linebacker group is what they were with.
I can't get over how lucky I was that this computer was plugged in as I was sitting at it. You know, what if that had happened when I was asleep?
Does anybody else have internet problems right now?
What if I walked away?
No.
Internet's going pretty good.
Right now. Yeah, okay.
Rangers and Blue Jays tonight. It's our guy Heaney against Kikuchi. Okay.
You say?
That's right.
Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm. Evan Grant writing, the winning of the last couple of weeks has kind of forced Chris Young's hand when it comes to his buying and selling decision. Love that. They have the best record in the American League in July. It's 14-6. They're 18-12 over their last 30 games, though. Okay? The luck factor seems to have evened out after going 1-6 in one-run games in June. They have won their last 7 one-run games in a row to be 8-6 now on the year. Little luck factor coming in for you. The Rangers could use somebody, however, who can hit right-handed pitching. They rank 23rd in the majors in OPS against right-handers. Didn't realize it gotten that bad. So they're actually looking for a lefty bat.
Yep.
There are a few of them. The Giants have a couple in Lamonte Wade Jr. and Mike Yastrzemski. I know Brian's heart would warm if they brought in Yastrzemski, an icon for Krusty's everywhere. Oakland's Brent Rooker might be the best guy available, though, Wolchuk. And the Mariners have made a move. They're getting Adolis Garcia's buddy, Randy Arozarena, who's down this year. Hopefully that continues, because that's quite a slugger, but he's not been able to perform this season. How much do you think that helps the M's attack, Wolchuk?
I think it does help him, and a change of scenery is probably going to be good for Randy Arozarena. I hope it doesn't make them too good. When it comes to the Rangers, a name that I have heard popping up a lot is a teammate, former teammate now of Randy Arozarena. That'd be Yandy Diaz, who has been dominant against left-handed pitching this year. He's got an .879 on-base plus slugging percentage. Of course, that's OPS. He struggled against righties, though, with the .678 OPS, but he was the batting champ last year in the American League. Could be an upgrade there for the Rangers. Brent Rooker, I think, might be a little pricey. Also an in-division trade, which they've made before with the A's, but I think Yandy Diaz might be a name to be monitoring here, Ranger fans.
Yandy Diaz, huh? What can you tell us about him?
Well, as I mentioned, he's got the left-handed hitting down very, very well. And then, you know, to me, he's a guy this year, that entire Rays lineup has been struggling a little bit, but he has been relatively consistent. So he can add some pop. I think the OPS against the left-handed pitching is very, very important. They've been really up and down this year for the Rangers lineup. So Yandy could be an exciting name.
That's exciting for me. Wolchuk, a longtime pre- and post-game show host for this Rangers team before he joined the G-Bag Nation. He's dialed. Kumar Rocker throwing for Frisco tonight. Tyler Malley was solid in his latest rehab start last night as well, and the tide's turning, baby. Here we go. It's perhaps a great run to the finish here, rounding into form. This is what we talked about before the season started. Just survived the first 3 months. Well, guess what? They've done it, and with perfect timing now, they're the hottest team in baseball. All right, when we come back, we have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Where are we going next, though, Chief?
Let's get you a little football's finest here, featuring momentum, security drills, and football guy of the day. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the tennis courts in Oxnard. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 9 minutes. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Buy two, get two free, pay nothing for 3 years, and get entered to win some Cowboys goodies. Go to WindowNation.com. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333. 333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's Eric.
Here we go. Football's finest on a lovely Friday here in Oxnard. Tua just got paid. He just got the fatty boom-bah, ladies and gentlemen. 4 years, $212 million. That's going to be $167 million guaranteed. And from what I see, that's
going to give him that
that's gonna Adam be, baby Lucius.
That is going to be the largest four-year deal in history. So usually, I guess these quarterback contracts that we've been seeing have been more like the 5 year deal kind of stuff. But $53 million on average puts him third in the sport when it comes to the quarterback position in the hierarchy of dudes getting paid. So that's just another leaf to fall, if you will, as we continue to wonder whether or not Dak's going to get the contract here with the Cowboys, or will it be over $60 million for somebody else come the offseason. But there is the news of the last 20 minutes or so with Tua getting paid. Now, elsewhere around the league, speaking of quarterbacks, did you see what the Raiders did trolling Pat Mahomes? This feels like this is a fool's errand to be a division rival of Pat Mahomes and do something like this. Apparently a Raiders fan, rabid Raiders fan, I presume, face painted, body painted, probably a middle-aged dude wearing spiked shoulder pads, hanging out at the practice, doing his thing. And he brought a Kermit the Frog little ventriloquist doll. He put a Pat Mahomes jersey on it.
There you go.
And then he put a Pat Mahomes-style sort of Afro wig on it and then launched it out into the field, and Raiders players were seen holding it and playing with it and mocking the whole situation. It has since gone viral. Viral to the point where Pat Mahomes was asked about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, when it's time to handle that, it'll be handled. He was like, it's not really something for me to worry about right now, but once the season gets cranked up, and I mean, we will definitely be circling back and revisiting the moment that in training camp they decided to poke the bear that is Pat Mahomes. Come on now. Be better than that. Be smarter than that. Even Antonio Pierce, Raiders head coach, he's like, we addressed it as a team today, and we nipped it in the bud. It's over with.
It's not over with.
Deron Bland just had a gorgeous interception that erupted the entire sideline here. Deron Bland, our player guest today, coming up at 3:10 in the G-Bag Nation.
That's the Wooly Bully live on the practice fields with Brian Broaddus doing some live mic in action.
Yeah, how about that? A really nice job by Bland. He's playing the left corner, though, reads the route. It's going to go quick to the outside. And he's just drove on the ball and able to extend and make the interception. So great job by Bland reading the play and making it and securing the ball.
If I'm the coaches with the Raiders, I'm like, okay, were there any good players that were doing this? Because I would really like to cut everybody involved, you know, it's just for being complete morons.
Like Max Crosby, I think, was crotch first about this. They're feeling good because they actually beat the Chiefs on Christmas Day. I don't know that they're wanting to poke the bear here, boys. I agree with you. Ooh, another interception.
Who are they picking?
This was Cooper Rush. It was an underthrown football, but a nice play by Josh Butler.
Yep. Yeah, great job by Butler, though. He's going to carry that route down the what would be the left sideline and is able to just make that play, go up high, point the football. Cooper Rush is the Wooly Bully mentioned, underthrew the football. Had a little bit of a shot to get it there, but nice shot by Butler going up and getting it.
All right, and who did Deron Bland intercept? Was that another Cooper Rush?
No, that was Dak.
That was a Dak? Okay. Thank you very much. We have Broaddus and Walchuk live on the practice fields. G-Bag of the Day in 5 minutes. Football's Finest is where we are at right now. Cardinals coach Jonathan Gannon.
Oh, no.
This dude, and hey, respect to him, because he was a laughingstock going into last season. He gets embarrassed by Andy Reid in the Super Bowl as the Eagles defensive coordinator, gets the job in Arizona after nobody wanted it. They're like, all right, Gannon, we'll give it to you. And then then the Cardinals end up being a much more difficult out than we anticipated.
They were competitive.
We saw that firsthand early in the season with the Dallas Cowboys. So if I was a Cardinals fan, I'd actually be feeling like maybe this Jonathan Gannon guy's got something going on. But then I see this report. Cardinals coach Jonathan Gannon and several members of the staff did a deep dive on the concept of momentum, apparently going back to wars in the 1800s. After all that research, does momentum exist? Gannon responds, perhaps. I honestly have no idea.
It's a really good deep dive study there. We learned a lot.
Most guys love a good war story.
A war story does get you going here. But if you're going to spend a part of your offseason as a coaching staff doing a deep dive on the concept of momentum, and you're going to come back with nothing but I have no idea if it even exists, you are deep dive researching as a coaching staff whether or not about something, and you don't even know if that something exists.
The analytics guys will get after you. You know, you get into a debate with Reg about this, he'll get after you a little bit, and you got to respect that. But I'm sorry, I don't care what the numbers say. You give me a confident and aggressive athlete that will result directly from success, I'll take that over a guy that's watched it go against him for the last 10 times.
You have a quote here from Jim Harbaugh. I think we get to give him football guy of the day, football guy of the week perhaps, because he gets back to training camp day one yesterday in Los Angeles, and he was asked about coming back, coaching in the NFL, day one of training camp, and his response was, quote, feels like New Year's Day, feels like being born, it was like coming out of the womb.
Okay,
that's the football guy attitude that is Jim Harbaugh. It's like it's a refresh, it's a restart. It feels like being born all over again.
He's got something in common there with that with the actor guy DJ. Man, how am I forgetting Terrence Howard?
Oh yeah,
Who remembered his birth as well?
Yes. Oh yes, on the Rogan
great
podcast
for these guys.
Eric, your guy Kevontae Turpin just with a nice snag. He was lined up in the slot against Jordan Lewis. Dak with perfect placement on the football. Also got Micah to jump offside on that with a hard count, so that was a free play situation for the Cowboys.
Yeah, yes. Keep dirty talking me about Turpin.
Yeah, Turpin, though, it was a good route. They've thrown a lot. The last couple of days, they've tried to run more seam routes, and that time Turpin was able to get up the field, though, and Lewis just could not stay with him. So good job with some quickness and then the ball being right where it needed to be.
I don't know what this meant, but 15 hours ago, I think like if you are an insider person, you can't just be tweeting out random subtweet stuff that may be personal to you or whatever, because you're going to start getting everybody wondering what's going on here. Okay,
yeah.
Like the average person can go ahead and just kind of tweet random cryptic sort of things because
even
nobody
though it looks
really
soft.
Cares. Yes,
yeah.
But when Josina Anderson last night, NFL insider, just randomly tweets out, and this is what the tweet read: "Just wow." ... And you're sitting there going, I'm like in my hotel room going, what's going on here? What type
Brady
of insider?
Back?
Yeah, like what type of insane news now? I can't go to sleep because I'm waiting for some late night breaking news. I would just like to say, Josina Anderson, Ian Rappaport, Schefter, that is a business insider account. You have a responsibility to uphold the integrity of that account. Don't be subtweeting cryptic crap about your personal life, because yep. Now you're going to keep me up late at night wondering what football news is about to be broken here, okay? So let's have some respect for the job. Finally, the Guardian caps. We're wondering about the Guardian caps. We're seeing a ton of them out here all across the league, but here at Cowboys camp, basically everybody's wearing them.
Everyone but the quarterbacks have them on.
Okay. And in Los Angeles, they're doing something with the Chargers where they're having like a little like cover thing over it that looks exactly like the helmet.
There you go.
Oh,
same color
goodness.
As the helmet. They got the decal, and for the Chargers, they actually have the numbers on the helmets as well. So it actually looks passable. We were going to make fun of dudes wearing this like in a game, but I think with the new aesthetic here, where it looks like the helmet because they have like a little cover on it, That's the move. And now I'm here for the Guardian caps. You can wear it on Sundays.
Right on, Chief. Coming full circle on those Guardian caps. Just needed to dress it up a little bit, okay? It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup as we continue live in Oxnard, California. Cowboys training camp. It's the G-Bag of the day.
Now, Eric, I'm right there with you, brother. Right there with you. The no context tweeter.
Come on, man.
You get unfollowed. I don't care who you are. You can be anybody, bro. No context tweeter. You are getting unfollowed. I found myself wasting like 25 minutes trying to figure out what you're talking about, going through all your likes and responds and all the other weird stuff.
Yeah.
Doing Googles and everything. I'm like, what is she talking about? What's going on? I seen that tweet last night too, bro.
It's just like a dead-end rabbit hole. Now I'm wondering what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't like that. No context tweeter, bro. Get off my page. Please. All right, let's see. Our winner right here, I think it's day three. I'm not sure because we lost a day this week of G-Bag of the Day. But UCLA coach Deshaun Foster at Big Ten Media Day, he was bombing on that stage.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A.
Hilarious.
It's us and USC.
Just together.
Don't forget UC Riverside.
Pepperdine.
Any questions?
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
There you go.
Let's get to work, Coach.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Any questions?
So many questions,
No
Coach.
Way he didn't have any notes prepared. There's no way. Maybe he had it on his phone and the phone died or something, bro.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know this is going to happen. You're going to go up there and have a quick 5 minutes and do some questions.
Computer might die a little bit later on in the show. We'll see how I do.
Yeah, I heard you. You brought it up and Broadus was asking about Wi-Fi. You talked about your computer almost exploding right there in front of everybody, and Broadus interrupts the Source Rex.
He doesn't care what I'm saying.
About the Wi-Fi.
He pays zero attention to anything coming out of my mouth.
Broadus is insane, bro.
I'm like, the internet.
We almost all died in an inferno. He's like, where's the remote mic?
You're talking about a bomb, literally. You're talking about a bomb, and Broadus want to ask about the Wi-Fi. You guys got Wi-Fi? Crazy. All right, let's see. They're losing their heads over there in New York. New York baseball fans on both sides, on all sides, that is. They're going crazy. Yeah, on both sides. Let's go to the Yes Network, where Yankees play-by-play announcer Michael Kay. Imagine Eric Nadell jumping on our station and arguing with Tolos about his baseball opinions. But that's what Michael Kay is doing. He's having a tough time dealing it, too.
Why can't he win a game batting third?
There's only one guy that hits besides him.
But that doesn't matter. So if they have Soto third and Judge fourth, you're just moving them down two spots, and Soto might come up with two outs and nobody on in the first inning, and Judge might not even get at him bat. What are you talking about? Why does it matter?
It does matter.
No, tell me why.
If it was me,
tell me why. Paul, tell me why it matters. Why? Why does it matter?
Because you see what they're doing, they're not winning with the.
But they only have two hitters out of nine. Why does it matter if you're batting them seventh or eighth or third and fourth or second and third? Why does it matter moving them to third and fourth? I need to have an answer.
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it matters to me because I think they would be better equipped. You'd find somebody that could get on base.
Who? All right, let's stop there. Let's stop there, Paul. Who can you find? Where are you getting that player?
They have enough talent that they should be hitting these balls. They got enough talent on there.
Don, help me out.
Well, I'm going to help you out. And Paul, thank you for the phone call. And the last guy, thank you for the phone call.
Wow.
Paul's reeling.
Yeah, that's just a clip of it, man. It went on for six whole minutes, bro. Back-to-back callers just giving it to Michael Caine. He's losing it. Sweating on there. He's undoing his collar at the top. Poor guy. Poor guy, bro.
Man, they are melting down in New York.
Yeah, on both sides. Like I said, on both sides. Real quick, though, shout out to all the delivery men. Amazon, FedEx, even the UPS, all of them been pulling up in my neighborhood like crazy this week. So shout out to y'all.
Salute.
Delivery man of the f-ing year. We see you, boy. Keep working, my boy. Keep working, my boy. Five star. Matter of fact, 10 stars. Keep working.
Yeah, keep working out there. All right. Let's go to a Mets fan right here. He is, what is that? He is from Yard. He is from Yard. That means he is from Jamaica, but he lives in New York, Queens, New York. I'm pretty sure it's Jamaica, Queens, stand up. He calls into WFAN in New York. And this Keith McPherson guy, McPherson, you ever heard of him?
No.
Listen to this, bro. Listen to this.
Chippy is in Queens. Chippy, you're next up. You got it.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Long
good
time,
morning.
First time calling your show, sir. And I find your bias. I'm on I 35-year Mets fan, right? And I love the Yankees because we have two teams in New York, Yankee the Mets. I hear Bash tell us to say that. And then I listen to you and you bash the Mets. I don't bash the Yankees. You all cry too much. Somebody had to win. The Yankees and the Braves beat me up. I take it as a man. So when Mets beat the Yankees, don't cry.
I mean, that call was chippy, chippy. I don't know what the hell you just said. I think I did pick up that you don't bash the Yankees. That's cap. This whole show I've been bashing the Yankees organization, top to bottom. That dumb lineup they put out. And I know a lot of you guys hear what you want to hear, and that's fine. I can't make you hear me, but you don't call the fan and say what I say. 35 years, like, I don't know what you're saying, bro.
Pretty thick accent in there. No Yankees, no cry, I think is what I picked up.
Oh, yeah, that's it, bro.
There it is. Is it the UCLA coach, Deshaun Foster? Is it the Michael K argument or Jamaican Mets fan named Chippy? What else? We had the delivery driver getting his flowers in there as well.
Yeah, just going to give a little shout out to all the delivery drivers because they're working hard. Every time I walk into my neighborhood, all I see is just packages on everybody's door.
Grinding, dude.
Yeah.
And they got like hundreds of them to do every day. They don't know when they're going to be able to go home. That's a good point. I'm going to vote for the current champ here. I can't get enough of that Deshaun Foster head coach at UCLA clip. How about you, Chief?
I'll go with that final WFAN call.
You'll bash Yankees.
Lucius?
Deshaun. Deshaun, that was a hot 5 minutes.
Let's go down to the practice field where Wolchuk and Broadus will cast their votes for the G-Bag of the Day. Wolchuk, what you got?
Yeah, I'll throw a third for Deshaun. I love the cringiness. It gets better every day.
Brian?
Yeah, let's go with the champ.
There it is, 4-1. Still your G-Bag of the Day champion, Deshaun Foster, UCLA head coach. Okay, Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning coming up next. And where are we going with that, buddy?
Yeah, we're out here in the practice field. We got a little team period. We'll continue the conversations next.
Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Now here with The Corner, it's Brian Broadus, live on the practice fields in Oxnard. Sir, come in.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. I'm joined on the practice field with Zach Wolchuk right now. We just got done with the two-minute period here, and they've gone to what they call two-spot, which they have the ones, offense and defense, on one end of the field, and then the twos and threes down on the opposite end. So, Zach and I are down here with hanging out with the one. Zach, the final two-minute period, Dak kind of got some things going, didn't he?
Yeah, he started picking on Deshaun Wright. Brandon Cooks was working on him. Now, the outbreaking routes were not good today. You had Bland with an interception. Jordan Lewis also undercut a ball for an interception, both on Dak. But when they started going in-breaking routes with Brandon Cooks, he was able to get open on Deshaun Wright. They moved the football pretty well. Not good for the running backs, though. They were doing a lot of checkdowns, and that ball was hitting the ground a lot. So the hands team for the running backs probably need to get over on that jugs machine after practice. practice.
Yeah, a little bit with two. They tried to throw a ball to Rico Dattle to start the drill and got a drop there. So yeah, these running backs. It's been a big question about them coming into this training camp. Is you know, is this running back room good enough? And I would say today, not as much, especially in the passing game stuff that they need. They need to be more on point, and they just weren't today.
All right, what else you guys seeing out there?
Well, they got Ferguson lining up playing a little bit of fullback here. They just had an I formation look. Fergie was lined up as the fullback. Now he's back in his more natural slot, and he's going to go in motion from right to left. But they got Rico Daldo right now as the starting back working next to Dak Prescott.
Yes. So it was our 310 guest, Deron Bland, that got Dak earlier?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And he's, I'll tell you what, he's playing the left cornerback spot here. For the ones, and I'll tell you what, though, he looks like yesterday you watched some of the drills that he had and some of the practices that he had as they were going through the practice, excuse me, he was doing a really nice job of carrying those inside routes and being able to break on the ball and stuff. He's just really good when it's underneath. It's the stuff when it goes down the field. There were a couple times where Brooks was able to get vertical on him and run by him. So, yeah, it's everything underneath right now has been really, really good for Deron Bland.
How's the fan base today compared to yesterday?
It's honestly about the same. It really, really is. It's a little bit thin out here. I'm curious, and we talked about it yesterday, Saturday's practice, tomorrow when we come out. We'll see. I mean, hopefully that thing's been an absolute massive turnout the last couple of years since Eric and I have been out here. But today, looking a little bit thin here for a Friday.
Yeah, I think that's a topic, you know, and I think that's something to monitor. And for me, guys, that's exciting, you know, because what we've talked about is the Cowboys aren't going to change until the fan base makes them. You know, this could be the first signs of a light bulb coming on for the Jones family. Like, wait a minute, we got to reevaluate stuff.
Well, yeah, it's you know, and I've detected it a little bit too. The interaction that I've had, I kind of pride myself on being able to communicate with the fan base, and it does. It seems like that they are very much in that, like, hey, we're going to wait and see how this plays out. But it is definitely different from years in past.
I mean, I can't take my eyes off the Cowboys. You know, not only professionally, but I just think it's a fascinating piece of being a North Texan, of being a Texan in general, and the culture. But I'll tell you this. I don't think if fan base attention dips, Jerry will hold that position for long. You know, just like he brought in Bill Parcells to get the stadium done, needed a more credible figure there. I think if TV ratings and, you know, fan sentiment dives, then very quickly Jerry will get very comfortable with an alternate way of doing business, because that's the bottom line. That's money. Fan interest, fan engagement, that's his money. Sorry to hold the floor there, but, you know, I'm just kind of getting excited here over a possible catalyst. It's been decades in the making, but maybe the fan base has finally realized what it's going to take to give this ownership group the proper motivation to change their stripes or
yeah,
their spots.
Yeah, and for a long time, too, here, and I think you're right about that, Dawson. For a long time here, though, you know, they didn't have a second or third team in town, and now they do with the two Rams. So maybe some people that are local fan base is kind of like, you know what, I'm not going to do with the Cowboys stuff. I'm going to go watch the Rams. I'm going to go watch the Chargers. And it maybe it's dipped into it a little bit, but I think you're right about the fan base. Just something to point out what I've seen here just real quickly as you were talking there, Dawson. T.J. Bass getting some work with the ones at center. Not only is it Cooper Beebe as the backup guy, but T.J. Bass also getting some work. And I will say this, though, too, about Marshawn Neal in the second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job of him. I don't know, Zach, if you noticed him playing this left end.
Yeah.
Getting off the ball pretty well. One of the things he struggled with in college was he wasn't a very bendy or quick guy. But it looks like to me he had a little bit of a jump coming off that left side. So they've moved him over to the right side. Now Sam Williams is playing over here on the left. And this is something that we saw yesterday in practice. Tank Lawrence was playing on the right side, Williams on the left side. So they're kind of trying to flop some things around here with Mike Zimmer and figure out who they're best rushers are and where they can and bring them from, also using Micah Parsons.
Also really intrigued, Kalen Carson, their rookie corner.
Yeah, he's out here, left here
right
corner,
now. Yeah, with the one group as well. And that's something we were talking before we had crosstalk, Brian, about, man, some of the depth that they've got behind Bland right now and Diggs and Lewis. Kalen Carson's a guy that I know Al Harris loves, and they're going to need somebody else to step up, especially if you get an injury at one of those spots. Maybe Kalen Carson's a guy that can man the outside so you can keep Deron Bland kicking inside of the slot.
Three Life Mics is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Go to menstclinic.com. How much can you detect or notice the absence of CeeDee Lamb in the offense?
I'll tell you what, in yesterday's practice, it wasn't noticeable at all because of what you were able to get from Tolbert and Brooks. It was not having CeeDee Lamb is a big deal, don't get me wrong, but those two wide receivers showed up yesterday, and, you know, I kind of felt like that they were doing a better job than what we saw with Brandon Cooks. So maybe these guys, if, you know, just through the initial practice, I think they both, there was going to be a competition. If you were scoring the fight at home, I would say it's a draw between the two, at least through the first practice that we saw yesterday. I thought they came out of the gates pretty well.
How about the two back looks? Any more signs of that?
No, it's a little bit more, like I say, they're in a little bit more of the shotgun stuff today, though. They're using Hunter Lipke more. It looks like to me they're in the second and short and as we speak here with the down and distance, and they're put Hunter Lipke in the backfield as an extra blocker. So it's kind of like, okay, we know we're going to throw the ball here, second and short, and second and four, and they used Hunter Lipke as a blocker instead of using, say, Zeke or Rico Dowdle there.
I saw Mike Zimmer saying today's install for the their blitz up the middle package, the double A gap blitz, right?
Yeah.
We seeing that?
I haven't seen it yet there. I was over earlier watching the linebackers work, and it was more based on coverage than it was blitzing. But, we're getting some looks right now where they're walking Wilson down. Usually they play that too high look, the two safeties on the hash. And that last time they walked Wilson down to Dak's left, and Dak moved the pocket to the right to avoid the blitz coming off his left side. So, yeah, a little bit more of safety pressure than the linebacker pressure.
Excellent stuff, gentlemen. Wolchuk and Broadus down on the practice field. Deron Bland's coming up in 15 minutes here on your home of the Cowboys. But when we come back, it's time for some NFL news today. Wolchuk, what you got cooking?
Man, we got some camp updates, and the first Dallas Cowboy made the NFL top 100. Can you guess who it is? That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Now here with The Corner, it's Brian Broadus, live on the practice fields in Oxnard. Sir, come in.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. I'm joined on the practice field with Zach Wolchuk. Right now, we just got done with the two-minute period here, and they've gone to what they call two-spot, which they have the ones, offense and defense, on one end of the field, and then the twos and threes down on the opposite end. So Zach and I are down here with hanging out with the ones. Zach, the final two-minute period, Dak kind of got some things going, didn't he?
Yeah, he started picking on Deshaun Wright. Brandon Cooks was working on him. Now, the outbreaking routes were not good today. You had Bland with an interception. Jordan Lewis also undercut a ball for an interception, both on Dak. But when they started going in-breaking routes with Brandon Cooks, he was able to get open on Deshaun Wright. They moved the football pretty well. Not good for the running backs, though. They were doing a lot of checkdowns, and that ball was hitting the ground a lot. So the hands team for the running backs probably need to get over on that jugs machine after practice.
Yeah, a little bit with two. They tried to throw a ball to Rico Dowdle to start the drill and got a drop there. So, yeah, these running backs, it's been a big question about them coming into this training camp is, is this running back room good enough? And I would say today, not as much, especially in the passing game stuff that they need. They need to be more on point, and they just weren't today.
All right, what else you guys seeing out there?
Well, they got Ferguson lining up playing a little bit of fullback here. They just had an I formation look. Fergie was lined up as the fullback. Now he's back in his more natural slot, and he's going to go in motion from right to left. But they got Rico Dowdle right now as the starting back working next to Dak Prescott.
Yes. So it was our 310 guest, Deron Bland, that got Dak earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And he's, I'll tell you what, he's playing the left cornerback spot here for the ones. And I'll tell you what, though, he looks like yesterday you watched some of the drills that he had and some of the practices that he had as they were going through the practice. Excuse me. He was doing a really nice job of carrying those inside routes and being able to break on the ball and stuff. He's just really good when it's underneath. It's the stuff when it goes down the field. There were a couple times where Brooks was able to get vertical on him and run by him. So, yeah, it's everything underneath right now has been really, really good for Deron Bland.
How's the fan base today compared to yesterday?
It's honestly about the same. It really, really is. It's a little bit thin out here. I'm curious, and we talked about it yesterday, Saturday is practice tomorrow when we come out. We'll see. I mean, hopefully that thing's been an absolute massive turnout the last couple of years since Eric and I have been out here. But today, looking a little bit thin here for a Friday.
Yeah, I think that's a topic, you know, and I think that's something to monitor. And for me, guys, that's exciting, you know, because what we've talked about is the Cowboys aren't going to change until the fan base makes them. You know, this could be the first signs of a light bulb coming on for the Jones family. Like, wait a minute, we got to reevaluate stuff.
Well, yeah, it's you know, and I've detected it a little bit too, the interaction that I've had. I kind of pride myself on being able to communicate with the fan base, and it does. It seems like that they are very much in that, like, hey, we're going to wait and see how this plays out. But it is definitely different from years in past.
I mean, I can't take my eyes off the Cowboys. You know, it, not only professionally, but I just think it's a fascinating piece of being a North Texan, of being a Texan in general, and the culture. But I'll tell you this. I don't think if fan base attention dips, Jerry will hold that position for long. You know, just like he brought in Bill Parcells to get the stadium done, needed a more credible figure there. I think if TV ratings and, you know, fan sentiment dives, then very quickly Jerry will get very comfortable with an alternate way of doing business, because that's the bottom line. That's money. Fan interest, fan engagement, that's his money. Sorry to hold the floor there, but, you know, I'm just kind of getting excited here over a possible catalyst. It's been decades in the making, but maybe the fan base has finally realized what it's going to take to give this ownership group the proper motivation to change their stripes or
yeah,
their spots.
Yeah, and for a long time, too, here, and I think you're right about that, Dawson. For a long time here, though, you know, they didn't have a second or third team in town, and now they do with the two Rams. So maybe some people that are local fan base is kind of like, you know what, I'm not going to do with the Cowboys stuff. I'm going to go watch the Rams. I'm going to go watch the Chargers. And it maybe it's dipped into it a little bit, but I think you're right about the fan base. Just something to point out what I've seen here just real quickly as you were talking there, Dawson. T.J. Bass getting some work with the ones at center. Not only is it Cooper Beebe as the backup guy, but T.J. Bass also getting some work. And I will say this, though, too, about Marshawn Neal in the second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job of him. I don't know, Zach, if you noticed him playing this left end.
Yeah.
Getting off the ball pretty well. One of the things he struggled with in college was he wasn't a very bendy or quick guy. But it looks like to me he had a little bit of a jump coming off that left side. So they've moved him over to the right side now. Sam Williams is playing over here on the left. And this is something that we saw yesterday in practice. Tank Lawrence was playing on the right side, Williams on the left side. So they're kind of trying to flop some things around here with Mike Zimmer and figure out who they're best rushers are and where they can and bring them from, also using Micah Parsons.
Also really intrigued, Kalen Carson, their rookie corner.
Yeah, he's out there left
here
corner,
right now.
Yeah,
with the one group as well. And that's something we were talking before we had crosstalk, Brian, about, man, some of the depth that they've got behind Bland right now and Diggs and Lewis. Kalen Carson's a guy that I know Al Harris loves, and they're going to need somebody else to step up, especially if you get an injury at one of those spots. Maybe Kalen Carson's a guy that can man the outside so you can keep Deron Bland kicking inside of the slot.
Three Life Mics is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Go to menstclinic.com. How much can you detect or notice the absence of CeeDee Lamb in the offense?
I'll tell you what, in yesterday's practice, it wasn't noticeable at all because of what you were able to get from Tolbert and Brooks. It was not having CeeDee Lamb is a big deal, don't get me wrong, but those two wide receivers showed up yesterday, and you know, I kind of felt like that they were doing a better job than what we saw with with Brandon Cooks. So maybe these guys, if you know, just through the just the initial practice, I think they both, there was going to be a competition. If there was, if you were scoring the fight at home, I would say it's a draw between the two, at least through the first practice that we saw yesterday. I thought they came out of the gates pretty well.
How about the two back looks? Any more signs of that?
No, it's a little bit more, like I say, they're in a little bit more of the shotgun stuff today, though. They're using Hunter Lipke more. It looks like to me they're in the second and short and as we speak here with the down and distance. And they're put Hunter Lipke in the backfield as a as like a, an extra blocker. So it's kind of like, okay, we know we're going to throw the ball here, second and short, and you know, second and four. And they're going to, and they used Hunter Lipke as a blocker instead of using, say, Zeke or Rico Dowdle there.
I saw Mike Zimmer saying today's install for the their blitz up the middle package, the double A gap blitz, right?
Yeah.
We seeing that?
I haven't seen it yet there. I was over earlier watching the linebackers work, and it was more based on coverage than it was blitzing. But, you know, we're getting some looks right now where they're walking Wilson down. You know, usually they play that two-high look, the two safeties on the hash. And that last time they walked Wilson down to Dak's left, and Dak moved the pocket to the right to avoid the blitz coming off the off his left side. So, yeah, a little bit more of safety pressure than the linebacker pressure.
Excellent stuff, gentlemen. Wolchuk and brought us down on the practice field. Deron Bland's coming up in 15 minutes here on your home of the Cowboys. But when we come back, it's time for some NFL news today. Wolchuk, what you got cooking?
Man, we got some camp updates, and the first Dallas Cowboy made the NFL top 100. Can you guess who it is? That's next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app